I was thinking back this past week in preparation for this morning of the second Sunday that Christ Community Church ever met. It was back in December of 1995, the second Sunday. I remember getting up in front of the folks there in Sanders Corner Elementary School, kind of thinking, people came back. Wow, this is good. Maybe we're on a roll. Second Sunday. I am serious. I'm not making, this is not a joke. I was just pleasantly surprised that outside the core of people that started Christ Community, there were others that came back. And that same sense of awe is still in my heart this morning. It's in my heart most every Sunday, to be honest with you. The awe is this, that you're here. So there's two aspects of that awe, that amazing sense of reality this morning is you thought something. You got up this morning and chose this over other things. But that's only half the sense of awe. The other sense of awe is that we didn't do that on our own. None of us thought that thought to come here this morning on our own. We were wooed here. We were invited. We were summoned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be here. So recognize, yes, you had choice. We had choice. But that choice was prompted by the God of all creation, who is drawing you to himself. So keep that in mind this morning. The God of all creation wooed you to the spot you're in this morning. He invited you. But keep in mind this whole Trinity, wonderful Trinity reality. Jesus is right beside you. He gets flesh and blood. He gets what it means to be human. And just when you're feeling like this thing is really just a little too hard and what God might be putting on your heart as he speaks to you this morning, then you remember the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. If you've said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come in and is dwelling in you and will make you strong when you're weak. So here's what the message is this morning. Why God has wooed us here this morning is simply this. Keep trading your fears for joy. You've heard it from a number of different angles already. Keep trading your fears for joy. Say that with me, please. Keep trading your fears for joy. That's a process. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one and done. It's a process. Keep trading your fears for joy. And there's two simple ways that the Spirit's going to speak to us today through his word. He wants us to listen to an angel, and then he wants us to do what Mary did. In order for us to, on a regular basis, keep trading our fears for joy, we're going to listen to an angel this morning, and then we're going to do what Mary did. And we're going to do that over and over and over by God's grace and by his Spirit. Let's read what the angel said. First of all, you've heard it a time, but this is wonderful to have it repeated. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. That's the message from the angel. It's the first one. Do not be afraid. Some of you on your A game this morning, you're remembering just, whoa, wait a minute. What, just this past summer, you told us to fear. From the book of Proverbs. Strong. Fear the Lord. This is not that kind of fear. When God calls us to fear the Lord, that kind of fear is an awe, it's an amazement, and it actually draws us closer. It decreases the distance between us and God when we fear the Lord. It actually draws us to Him. The fears that the angels were talking about, the fears that I want us to think about this morning, are those kind of fears that increase distance between us and God. These are the fears that bring distance. These are the fears in our lives that make us feel alone, that make us feel afraid. These are the fears that paralyze us, that bring doubt. These are the fears that make it hard to hope. These are the fears that we've been speaking about already this morning. These are the fears of death, not only of our own possibly, but fear of death of a spouse, fear of death of a child, fear of death of a parent, fear of death of a loved one that we know. It's that kind of fear that shakes us. It's a fear of the future that we don't know, and that anxiety grips us when we don't know what the future holds. It's the fear of being alone. It's the fear of not getting into that college. It's that fear of what is my sophomore year going to look like at Stonebridge High School? What is my junior year going to look like in Stonebridge, in Broad Run, whatever high school you may be from? There's fear about that next year. There can be. There's the fear of pain. There's this fear in our lives that the pain that we're experiencing, either emotionally, that Zach already mentioned, or physically, what if that doesn't change? What if that doesn't go away? What if that stays? What happens then? It's the fear of not having enough money. It's the fear of failure. All of these are the fears that we're talking about. And I could probably leave a blank. I have this fill in the blank. What did I miss? When you think about your life and some of your fundamental fears that bring distance between you and God, not a sense of closeness, what did I miss? What would you fill in the blank if I haven't already mentioned it? As we've talked before, we could lead seminars on how to fear. We know how to do that, and we do it well. It's a part of our lives. So what does that look like? But I want Brian to put up a phrase right now. I am intrigued by grammar sometimes. I'm intrigued by how God breathed His word to us. And this phrase, do not fear, if you were to look in a Greek grammar book, the tense of how God breathed, inspired this into the language, the Greek language, it means this. It's a prohibition of an action in process. When the angel says, and when Luke wrote it in the tense that he did in the Greek language, do not fear. What is going on is the angel is saying, there's something in process, friends. There's an action in process, and that process is fear, and it is to be prohibited. It is to be stopped. And that's where this idea, I had this image in my mind of a train, this fear train, barreling down a track. It's a process. In action, in motion, but it is to be prohibited, and it is to be stopped. Stopped the fear train. Do not be afraid. And then I got to thinking, wait a minute, I have a train. Dad had a train, and he gave me. Isn't that a beauty? I saw this train going down the tracks, a fear train. And the angel said, stop. Stop that train. But the way that we stop the fear train is to put another train on the track. Same train, use your imagination. But that train's going in a different direction. And this is the good news train. This is the good news that the angel spoke about. We're going to pick it up in Luke 10 here. Excuse me, Luke 2. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. An action in process that is to need to be prohibited. Stop. Stop the fear train. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. So stop the fear train. Start the good news train. There are aspects of good news that the angel speaks to you and me today that the NIV translators use the word cause. that these elements of good news of the gospel is where we get the phrase, the word gospel. Elements of this good news are to cause joy in our lives, in our hearts. The first is simply this.
This is the first.
There's going to be four cars. They're not really cars, but there's going to be four here. So use your imagination. This is today. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, for you, today. Today in the town of David, today in our lives. God is doing something. God can do something to bring joy in our lives today. Not someday, and not yesterday, and not maybe. But today, God can work, can cause joy to come into your life because he is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. We've talked about this before. Zach already brought this up a couple times. When we think about joy, we have to have a good biblical understanding of what God means by joy. Yes, it does mean an emotion. It does mean a smile. It does mean happiness. Yes, that is a part of it. Zach mentioned that. But it also can be a reality in our lives when we don't feel happy, when we don't feel joy. We can know the joy of God because of what we know. That's why the writer James says, consider it. That's a cognitive word. That's a thought word. Consider it joy. Count it joy. Know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that today God can do joy in your heart. Know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And here's the amazing thing. What God points to, what the angels point to in this scene is a baby. A baby. When Micah showed that clip last week, if you were here, of Mary and Joseph, of Mary giving birth, that was powerful. That was impactful to me. And Cindy and I have talked about it. To see a baby and for God to say, look at this baby. There's joy because a baby has been born. How could God say that? What was that baby doing that day? He was only doing what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was only doing what all babies do that day. But that day in God's sovereignty didn't mean just that day. It meant there was a surety, there was a hope about the future that crashes into today. And some people speak about that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that the future reality of the kingdom of God, the joy of all the fullness, crashes into our today's in some small way. The future reality of the kingdom crashes into today. And so when we look at a baby, we don't just see a baby. We see a king. We see a Lord. We see a Savior. We know that the today, God's going to be crashing the fullness of his future into our today's. That's who that is. The other thing that Cindy brought to my mind today is we have a great illustration of that in Sarah and Abraham. There's a scene when the angel told Sarah and Abraham, you're going to have a baby in your old age. You're going to have a baby. What did Sarah do? She laughed. She laughed. I think that laugh had a couple elements to it, like, you're crazy. But there's also this sense in that laugh of, wow, just maybe the angel's right. And the future reality of the hope of Isaac came crashing into Sarah, and she laughed. She wasn't even pregnant at the time. And she laughed. In Isaiah 53:5, this is another fascinating element of how God speaks through grammar, how he spoke through the Hebrew language. Look at this word. This Jeff Howard just preached on this several weeks ago from Isaiah. This is speaking about Jesus in Isaiah's time frame, 700 years before Jesus was even born. Notice the tense of the verbs. He what? Was pierced for our transgressions. This is 700 years before Jesus was even born. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. You know what's going on here? They call this in the Hebrew language a prophetic perfect. This takes two hands. But this is amazing. This is how we can have joy today. Keep in mind, there's a present reality, our day. What Isaiah is speaking about is a future reality of Jesus, this Messiah. But how does he refer to this future reality? In a past tense. The reason he does that is because the surety of this future event is so sure that he refers to it in a past tense, like it's already happened, even though it's 700 years in the future. It's called a prophetic perfect. It's a powerful image in the Hebrew grammar. It is so sure that he was crushed for our iniquities that it's expressed in a past tense. It's so positive. But then notice the switch of the positive. We are healed. Presently, currently, we are healed because our iniquities were on our Savior. So today, we can have joy, mega joy, because the surety of the promises of God and what he is up to are so sure, so absolute, that we can take joy. That hope can crash into today and give us a sense of hope. And oftentimes, that's just a thought. Oftentimes, that's just a sense of, God, I know it's happening. I know in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our grief, we can just have this sense of, God, I know today. Secondly, the angel, the second. What's this one? Today. This one is, can you guess? In the town of David. In the town of David. That's the second phrase. Today, the joy train is moving in this direction. Today, in the town of David. Micah covered it all last week. Micah covered this strongly last week. Bethlehem, town of David, prophesied by Micah. Preached by Micah. How cool is that? Can we take any credit for that? No. But pretty cool that Micah spoke the prophecy of Micah, that Bethlehem was going to be the place where the Savior was born. And God had to sovereignly move over an evil, wicked king, which he does all the time, to bring about his purposes. And he caused this king to call for a census, which moved Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem by God's sovereign purpose. So today, in the town of David, can bring us joy because God is sovereign. He is moving and working in all the circumstances of the world, in every single minute circumstance of our lives. He is working and moving in the worst of our circumstances, in the best of our circumstances. He is putting it all together. He's working his purposes today. He's doing it even as we're sitting here. He's working his sovereign purposes in our world and in your life. That can bring us a sense of joy, deep joy. So say it with me. Today, in the town of David, a Savior. A Savior has been born. I know these cars are kind of mixed up. So if some of you that are a little bit more into trains and you're troubled by the coal being not... that's going to mess you up even more. No, we'll keep it there. Just go with that. All right. A Savior has been born. Some tremendously important, accurate, good synonyms for Savior is deliverer, rescuer, and healer. All really good synonyms for Savior. He is our deliverer. Used of Joshua in a military sense. Joshua, as you may know, means God who saves. It's the precursor for Yeshua, for Jesus. Joshua saves. When you think of Joshua being a powerful, a military general leading and winning victories, Jesus is our Savior in that sense, winning powerful victories. He is also our rescuer. He is the one who delivers us from places of danger, places of condemnation, places of brokenness, places of weakness, and he rescues us, and he brings us to places of safety. He brings us to places of forgiveness. He brings us to places of grace and healing and strength. That's what our Savior does. He is rescuer, he's deliverer, and he's healer. He brings us life when life is broken. He is doing this. That's one of the things that crossed my mind this past week. Zach and I have talked about this. You've heard this in my life. I deal with my emotions. You deal with your emotions. Our emotions sometimes tell us the truth. Sometimes they don't. And when our emotions are not telling us the truth, that's when the confidence that God is at work. He is our Savior. He is delivering us. Right now, he is rescuing us. He is healing us. That's what he does, because that's who he is. He can't function in any other way. As God lives and moves and is in our world today, in our lives, he's doing that. He can do nothing else. That's what he does. And so when you think about your circumstances today, those fears in your life, think about those fears and just think about, let the reality that your Savior is working. He is delivering you. Even if you don't feel it, even if you don't see it, it is in process. So have hope that the day that you're in, the emotions that you're in, the fear that you're in will not last. It will. Some of the situations that you guys are walking through come to mind. May God enable you. That's why the Spirit is so vitally important. He does in our souls what we cannot do. He brings joy. In the midst of your circumstances, he is doing that. Take hope. Take fresh courage, saints of the Lord. Fresh courage today, because he is moving. He is your Savior. He is also, I did get the caboose right. We got the joy train. Say it with me. Today, the town of David, Savior has been born. Who is he? It's Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord is essential. The Lordship of Jesus Christ causes us to think about his authority. His authority is over all. He not only wants to do this because he loves us, his authority reminds us he can do this. He is able to do this because he is the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shelley read a couple weeks ago from Isaiah 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. How is all this going to happen in our lives? How is it all going to come to be in reality? It's the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it because he can. He has authority over death. He defeated death. He has authority over every single evil, any molecule of evil. Jesus the Lord has authority over. And he is working his sovereign purposes every second of every day. He is doing that. He can and he will. But that's what the angel said. The angel reminded us, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Lord. Because of that, there is joy. But we have got to remember what Mary did in verse 19. What did Mary do in the middle of all this? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured these things and she pondered them. To treasure means that she kept them in her mind. Mary kept thinking about this. It wasn't a one thought on a Sunday morning. She kept thinking about this. And she pondered this. That means Mary kept thinking about these things, but she reflected on it. She not only kept it in mind, but she kept thinking, God, what does this mean? What are you doing? She reflected and she pondered. That's crucial for God to have his full purposes worked in our lives. Very helpful. Very important for you and for me in this season especially to treasure and to ponder this. So it's not just this morning, but we treasure these thoughts. We treasure and ponder what God is saying to us. Because Paul says in Romans 12:1, we are transformed, we're changed. Joy comes as our minds are renewed. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so as we think and ponder these truths, we're transformed, we're changed, joy comes. So figure out how to do that. Figure out, take responsibility, how to start your day. Set your mind in these ways. Through the day, figure out how to creatively think about this, and then figure out how to close your day before you go to rest, before you go to sleep. How can God do this? How can God help you treasure and ponder these things? One way that I have found very helpful this past week was to watch a video, a musical video by the band Ren Collective, and the song is Rescuer. I chose the video that we're using. There's some with words, great words, but they're pretty clear. What I wanted us to see, what ministered to me, was the faces of the men and women in the video. Because I know that their lives are no different than our lives. Every one of the people that we're going to see in these videos, they have hard days. Who knows how many of them deal with depression? Who knows how many of them are walking through grief, even as this video was being filmed? But we're seeing in them something of what God is calling us to, that in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our fears, that we can express this joy because God is our rescuer. So enjoy this video. This is just one help that I found very helpful this past week. You might find it helpful. May God give us grace to listen, to ponder, to treasure. And do this, and then the worship team will come up and close with our last song. By the way, there's a scene in this video where they kind of go, huh? Feel free.
There is so much bad news in the world right now. But no matter what, we have good news. And that good news has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ.
There is good news for the captive. Good news for the shame. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter. Of Calvary, there is redemption.